Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Test 1, 2, 3, test. Test 1, 2, 3. Yes. Are we on? Okay. Sorry about that, folks. Technical difficulty here. We're going to play some, let's start all over from the very beginning. Here you go. Good evening, everybody. I know it's Friday night here in the Midwest, 11:44. And this is called Our Radio. Organize, unite, respond. And I want to make sure that everybody understands that we're not promoting this radio show any kind of violence or upheaval or revolution, anything against our government. what we're here for is to get Americans involved with our political system, no matter how corrupt it is. That's something that we, as Americans, can change. Senator Bernie Sanders, he was standing on the platform of having a political revolution. And obviously, after the election night, there were thousands and thousands of younger generation millennials, as we call them, if we have to put people in the category, that protested against the election about the president-elect Trump winning. And we need to understand something. Although, as this radio broadcaster, I do not support Trump, president-elect Trump, but I'm not going to be against him or for him. We're going to be bipartisan. I want to hear what you folks have to say about and your feelings about Trump, president-elect Trump, and how the election went. You have to remember that Secretary Clinton won the popular vote by 2 million, a record. And it's the second time in the 21st century that the Democrats have lost the election by the Electoral College. And we're going to talk a little about President-elect Trump and his 20 promises that he plans on doing for America. The first thing he said that they were going to do is repeal Obamacare, every word of it. I don't know. You've probably all been listening to the news, and the first thing that came out of President-elect Trump's mouth was that, well, we're going to use bits and parts of Obamacare, you know. And when asked about the deportation of 11 million plus illegal immigrants, now it's just the ones that have criminal backgrounds or drug traffickers or gang members, you know. What people don't understand that when President Obama was in office, he was the president that deported the most illegal immigrants of all presidents in our history. Over 20 million. But wait a minute, we're not supposed to talk about that. We're just supposed to talk about what Trump promises. The wall? Oh, the Great Wall of America that separates us from our southern neighbors. Well, now it's not going to be a wall. It's going to be a fence. In me, with wall. You know, this guy is something else. But what we're going to hear, we're also going to talk about, I'd like to hear people call in and discuss about having a third party. Instead of just a two-party system, Democrats, Republicans. Back in the 1700s, it was the Federalists and the Whigs, and then it was the Conservatives and the Liberals, and then it was the Whigs and Democrats, and it was Democrats and Republicans, and here we are. You know, the first Republican president, which was Abraham Lincoln, great man, you know, great man. But he was really a Democrat at heart. People don't like that because hear that. But actually, he went on the Republican ticket because it was a new party. And same thing as then, as is now, the people wanted to change. Back then, it was to get rid of slavery. And I don't know how many people out there know their American history, but actually, Abraham Lincoln, slavery was not a big important issue on his platter at the time. Well, his platform of running for president, although slavery was part of the platform, but his biggest platform was economic and the economic situation that was going on in America in the 1800s. And I opened up the trade routes and trade with Europe and Asia, China, Japan. That was his thing, which was funny, because that's what the Republican Party stands for, is about promoting capitalism. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Nothing's changed. I mean, but it's time for a change. And for you millions of millenniums out there, you know, demonstrate it by all means, to keep it peaceful. Don't destroy property. You know, there are ways to change it, to change a system and to get who what you want in there. You know, Bernie Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders, ran on the platform. He was a Democrat socialist. And that's the thing. Americans, us baby boomers, well, not me personally, but a lot of the baby boomers are afraid of that word socialist. You know, they think, oh, you're going to take away everybody's money and, you know. No, that's not what it means. I mean, we already have a socialist programs already in place. Social Security, Medicare, social services for the poor. You know, we already have these. What we need, what I want to hear from people tonight is what they really feel. This is an open mic, you know. Just to sort of keep it clean, if we can. If you're really upset, then by all means, say what you want. I'm not going to edit it, or I will discourage you. Please, I will ask you, please watch what your language, but by all means, this is sort of just everybody to blow off of, get some steam off of about the election. And also we're going to talk about the Electoral College. The Electoral College was established because of the rural states. They didn't have the population as the bigger states, such as California, Texas, New York, Florida. And if we ran on a one person, one vote, all the candidates would have to do is win these states with more population in them, and they win the presidency. That's what they're saying. Now, personally, I don't believe that. If the people, you know, if people of America want a certain candidate to win, regardless if it's Republican or Democrat, they're going to vote for that person. All right? Obviously, 98 million people wanted Hillary Clinton to be president. She beat Donald Trump by 2 million votes in the popular vote. To me, that just doesn't make sense. I mean, our vote has to count for something. Did you guys, you know what, 43% of Americans didn't even vote? And out of that 43%, over 60% of them didn't vote because they said, well, the Electoral College is going to pick them anyway. You know, in my opinion, one person, one vote. We use the popular vote system. This Electoral College thing was one. One was created by the, back then was the Federalists or the Republicans, because they knew they could control the vote. And it's been going on for years and years, for years. Now, everybody's really surprised that Donald Trump won. Oh, my God. And so did we got a Republican House and a Republican Senate. Are you really that surprised? No, I'm not. Once a bit, it was foretold. It was like, yeah, they planned on it. I was telling my wife two, 3 months before the election. Yeah, Trump's going to win. Republicans are going to be the House and the Senate. And well, you know, all this stuff about social medicine or universal health care, tuition fee education. Cheaper education, the higher wages for the working groups, it's all going to go out the window. You know, the only way that the Republicans can bring trade and industry back to the United States is they have to, our labor force is going to have to be cheaper than the labor force in China or Bangladesh or Taiwan or wherever, Vietnam, India, Pakistan. And the American people are not going to work for the wages that these people make. There's no way. And President-elect Trump said, oh, we're going to give them tax incentives and move back here. Okay. Let me tell you, here's the deal. If you make $150,000 a year, which is a upper middle-class family, underneath the President-elect Trump's tax cut plan, you're only going to save $350 a year on taxes. But if you make over $1 million a year, now listen to this, $1 million a year, you're going to save over $150,000 a year in taxes. This is President-elect Trump's idea of a tax cut fair for everyone. It's fair for his cronies, his buddies. You know, he says he's going to drain the swamp. He's not going to drain the swamp. He just put more gators in the swamp and more critters. Himself and his cabinet. I mean, nothing's going to change. It's going to get worse. Or it's not going to do anything at all. The rich are just going to get richer. And the way it's going now, you all know that the interest rate went up to 4%. You notice that the housing industry is up again. And it's because everybody's banking on Trump to, President-elect Trump to deregulate all these, you know, industries. Now, let's go back about, 12 years ago, a little further back. Let's go back 14 years ago when J.W. Bush and deregulated all the financial institutions. Now, do we all remember what happened in 2008? We were losing over 1.5 million jobs per month. Over 50,000 people were losing their homes per month. And they blame President Obama on this. President Obama inherited this mess from the Republican regime, and we're just going right back into it again. You know, J.W. Bush comes from a rich oil family, and we had President Obama, who was raised in the Midwest, Wichita, Kansas, by a Caucasian single mother. He was born in Hawaii. Yeah, he went to Malaysia, came back. I mean, he was by no means born with a golden spoon in his mouth. No, and he held it for 2 years. He did, in my opinion, he did a pretty good job considering what he inherited. And when Hillary Clinton comes along, Secretary Clinton, excuse me, and she just wants to carry on the Obama legacy, which is fine then, because she didn't have anything. The only thing she didn't have any plan what to do. That's why she was riding on Obama's shirttails. The only man, the only individual that was campaigning throughout the whole series that had any kind of realistic plan whatsoever was Senator Sanders. Yeah, I got the Bernie. Senator Bernie Sanders to me was the hope for our country to be turned around. People say, oh, he's a socialist. I mean, I want you guys, I want anybody out there, if you get a chance to, once the show's over, I want you to go to YouTube or just type it in on Google search or whatever, and type in the FDR Second Bill of Rights. This is Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 1943 or 44, I believe, was getting ready to put a bill before Congress, the Senate, about Second Bill of Rights. You'd be quite surprised what his proposal was. He inherited, just like Obama, inherited the Great Depression. And he created hundreds of thousands of jobs that were paid for by the federal government. So, you know, I mean, socialism, the socialistic ideas have been around. And people say, oh, the next step is communism. Really? I mean, are we that naive? You know, a friend of mine, he told me, he says, look up the definition of socialism. So I did. And I'm going to read it to you. This is where I found out the definition of socialism in the Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, 10th edition. And it's pretty funny. And I read it, and it's like 10 different definitions. You know, it's like they don't really want to touch on it. I have to look it up again because I did have it saved, but I moved my dictionary. You know, I lost my page here. But you know, it's just like I just You know, if I don't understand the Republican Party, which they call for a smaller government, I don't think they're calling for a smaller government. I think they're just calling for no government at all. You know, they just want the people up there to say, yeah, it's okay, we're going to make this a law. Oh, wait a minute, they don't like it. The Republicans, the rich people don't like it. Well, then we won't make that a law. It's Donald Trump hit it on the head. It's a rigged system. Yeah, it's rigged. It's rigged for the rich people and against the poor, against the working class. And, you know, I think it's time for us to get away from this two-party system and bring in more systems. I mean, more parties. You know, you had the Green Party with Ms. Stein. You had the Libertarians. And I really feel that Senator Sanders hit it right on the head. The social democratic socialist is what he called himself, and you know, and of course the Republicans, when he said that word socialist, they jumped on it like flies on crap. So anyway, I'm going to play some more music here, and please call in and give me your let us hear what you feel about all this what's going on here. Hold on just a minute.
And this is magnified and walked off to look for America. Kathy, I said as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, Michigan seems like a dream to me now. Took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces. She said the man in the gabardine suit was a spy. I said, be careful, his bow tie is real.
Cause I'm a New Jersey Turnpike. They've all come to
Okay. Welcome back. That was Simon Garfunkel, Garfunkel, America. Here we go. Definition of socialism. Any of various economic and political theories advocating government ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods. Can you hear me? I don't know if my mic's on or not. Let me know. Hello? Sorry about that. Hot mic. Anyway, yeah, look, folks, I haven't done this in about 5 years, so and this is all new format on this Blog Talk Radio page, so I'm just bear with me. This is my first time for 5 years, so it'll get better through the time, I promise you. So anyway, as I was saying, socialism, they make it sound like it's a bad thing. You know, I don't know if it's a bad thing, because the only thing I know is what we've been I've been living with for the past 59 years. You know, don't know anything different except for the countries I have visited. It seemed like they're like in Canada, they seem very happy with the healthcare system up there. You know, yeah, they pay a little more in taxes, but, you know, they don't have to worry about if they get sick or injured or whatever. I've been to Mexico, same to Cuba. I know, went to Cuba illegally, but same thing. You know, I had excellent health care down there. It didn't cost me anything. The government took care of it. What's really wrong with having universal health care? Everybody says, well, the government's taking a choice of our doctors away. You know, majority of the doctors would like to have universal health care. One, they would make more money because they work for the government, and they wouldn't have to pay malpractice insurance. Two, they would have access to all of the best medical technology there is. So what's the big deal about having universal health care? You know, I wouldn't mind giving up our health insurance premium paid into the taxes towards the government if it's applied to universal health care. I mean, don't you guys think it's sort of twisted that the people act out there who actually open up corporations and businesses for health insurance to collect money, to make money off sick and dying people? I mean, that just seems to me is just morbid. I have my wife, she works in the healthcare industry, and she takes care of a lot of convalescent and hospice individuals. You know, if it wasn't for Medicare, a lot of these folks wouldn't be able to have my wife go in and take care of them. You know, I mean, she bathes them and talks to them and gives them general comfort. But again, they have to pay for it. And that's, I don't agree with that. That's just wrong. You know, it's wrong for companies or corporations to make money off the misery of others. You know, you want to call it whatever you want to. You want to call it socialism, communism, I don't give a shit. It's wrong. You know, it's wrong. Our government, our political system needs an overhaul. When our founding fathers wrote the Constitution and the amendments, especially, I want to hit on the Second Amendment here. This ought to get some of you rowdy Republicans going out there. When they wrote the Second Amendment, they said that, hold on a minute, let me get the Constitution. I got it right here. I'm going to read it to you word for word. So there's no misunderstanding about it. so someone will call me and say, oh, you're making that up. No, I'm not. This is from a book. It's called The Constitution, That Delicate Balance. And I'm going to read to you what the Second Amendment actually says. And a lot of people don't realize this. Article 2 of the Constitution of the Bill of Rights. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, folks, this is written, first they met in 1786, and it was agreed upon in 1787. And back in 1787, they had muzzle loaders. That, you know, they you had to reload and shoot you. Every time you shot a bullet, you had to go for this process to charge the weapon again and shoot again. I don't think if the founding fathers found out that we had AR-15s out here that you could shoot 50 rounds within 15 seconds or 20 seconds or whatever ridiculous amount, that they would even put this in here. You know, and I mentioned this to some colleagues of mine I work with, and they said, well, you know, the Constitution was written with a feather quill, you know. Well, yeah, and they would say, well, they have ink pens now. Well, I don't think ink pens kill people. So, you know, Article 2 of the Constitution, in my opinion, should be definitely, you want to appeal something, Mr. Trump? Appeal the Second Amendment. Appeal that. Change it. I mean, if people want to own these big-ass guns, which I have no question, I have no understanding whatsoever why they want to do this, except to kill each other, which, hey, by the way, we are doing that very successfully. And in the modern countries in the world, the three countries in the world, our country has the highest murder rate in the world. That's something that we should stand up and be proud of. Thank you, Second Amendment. I don't know what to say. It's just, and these are the people who elected President-elect Trump. That's the people that he was going after. He was getting their anger at. You know, you want to say he's racist? I don't know if he's racist or whatever, but I definitely know that he definitely got the majority of the blue-collar, white, male, gun-toting votes in the Midwest. I mean, did you guys look at the map during the election night? The whole Midwest section, all the way from Montana all the way down to Texas, was nothing but solid red. You know? And here's these poor little states out on the fence, California, Colorado, that were blue, you know. So I don't know about you, but it scares the hell out of me that, you know, we have these people voted for Trump under the disguise of what he said he promised he was going to do. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to repeal Obamacare, word for word. Yeah, whatever. He's already backing on that one. I'm going to build a wall. Now, folks, he's not going to build a wall. You Republicans really believe he was going to build a wall? You know how many walls were built in the country in the history of modern, in mankind? Besides, with three. I'll name it to you. In Britain, the Roman Empire built a wall to split Britain to keep the barbarians from the north, the Scots and the Irish, from coming down. The Chinese built the Great Wall of China to keep the horde of barbarians invading the Huns from invading their country. And this is one that we should really be proud of. The communists built the East Berlin Wall. Now, really, we want to associate ourselves with, put ourselves in that category. And what's really ironic about all this, it's not Mexican citizens that's crossing the border in mass droves. Just go look on the Immigration Services webpage, and they'll tell you the nationalities of the most and illegal immigrants come across the borders. They're from Central America. It's not Mexico, it's Central America, man. I mean, if you're going to talk bad about, you know, illegal immigrants, at least get the right countries down. You know, quit blaming Mexico. I mean, yes, Mexico back in the day, they were having a heyday about coming to the border. But you know what? I used to live out in a place called Imperial County, California. It was proud of itself of being one of the top 10 produce farming areas in the United States, meaning they didn't grow wheat, corn, soybeans. They grew stuff like tomatoes, onions, lettuce, carrots, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, when it was like 100 and some odd degrees out there in the Imperial Valley, who was out in the fields picking that stuff? Because they didn't have equipment. They didn't have farm equipment to pick it. Most of the produce had to be picked by hand. You know who was out there doing it? Well, I guarantee you it was a bunch of Caucasian white Americans out there doing it. No, man, it was the Hispanics out there doing it. Now, you want to take all these people and get them out. Now, who's going to do this for you? Well, I'm not. You know, I went out there. I did it one time for 1 hour. 1 hour. And it was terrible. It was backbreaking work. So you're out here saying, oh, deport these illegal immigrants, blah, blah, blah. Okay, deport them. But which one of you great Caucasian American people are going to go out there in the produce fields and pick? I don't think one of you, for less than minimum wage. You see, the thing of it is, every state in the United States have what they call a agriculture wage. And it's not minimum wage. It's usually the same thing what waitresses and food workers get, especially waitresses. You know, they get $2.25 an hour plus tips. Problem it is in the agriculture department, you get $2.25 and no tips. So really, think about it. I don't think any of you are going to go out there and help the Hispanic people get their workload over when they get deported. And like I said before, President Obama deported more illegal immigrants than any president in the history of the United States. Over 20 million. Well, wait a minute. Fox News and the Republican Party, they want to talk about that. No, 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 no. All they're saying is that we have these, what do they call them, cities that get federal funding to help the illegal immigrant base. What do they call them cities? I can't remember, but San Francisco, Dallas, Fort Worth, who else? Albuquerque, New Mexico, Seattle, Washington. Sanctuary cities, that's what they call them, sanctuary cities. Trump's already made it say, I'm going to cut federal funding to them. You know, you probably are going to think I'm crazy, but one night I got on the computer and I was listening to a very famous German back in 1938 making a speech. And I was listening to Donald Trump making a speech. And this German, you already know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about Adolf Hitler, was telling how they were going to make the motherland great again. Try that. Get out on the look. YouTube. 1938 speech in Munich. That's what he said. And then I look over at his Mr. Trump saying the same thing. We're going to make America great again. I don't know about you folks, but that sort of makes me like a little nervous. President Obama said, this is a man who we're going to give the nuclear codes to. And he gets pissed off when someone's making fun of him on Saturday Night Live, you know, or the cast of Hancock. Was it Hancock? What was it? Hamilton. The cast of Hamilton, one of the members gave a speech of freedom of expression to the vice president of the United States, vice president-elect, Pence. And Trump got up, he upset and he's tweeting. Someone needs to take that tweet account from that guy. For one thing, he's not mature enough to be having it. He's supposed to be the president of the United States. He's tweeting, worrying about what theatrical troops say about his vice president and about actors making fun of him. I mean, hey, Mr. Trump, wake up. You're in the spotlight. I mean, you were the, what was it called, the apprentice? Hey, you're in the spotlight now, but this is for real. And there's over 60 million people counting on you to do the right thing. So anyway, we're going to, if I can get this to come up. Well, until I can get this thing in play, we are going to have, let's see here. I'm downloading another song, but it hasn't downloaded yet. Well, we're going to take a little break. So this is, again, I like this song anyway, because Bernie, he played it on one of his political ads, and it sort of hit a nerve with me, a good nerve. So it made me think about things. And so we're going to play it again, because I don't have anything downloaded right now, but it is downloaded. But here we go. This is the song I'm going to play.
Cause I'm a New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come.
like a cigarette, and this is magnified, and walked off to look for America. Kathy, I said as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, Michigan seems like a dream to me now. Took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces. She said the man in the gabardine suit was a spy. I said, be careful, his bow tie is really a camera. Toss me a cigarette, I think there's one in my raincoat. We smoked the last one an hour ago. So I looked at the scenery. She read her magazine, and the moon rose over an open field. Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. All come to look for America.
Welcome back. Well, like I said, it's been about almost 5 years since I did this, and so I wasn't that prepared for it. So anyway, lines are open, open mic, please call in, and the call-in number is 646-668-2392. Okay, that's 646-668-2392. And I'll put you on the line and you can shoot off about whatever. But I'm so disappointed in, I'm not really disappointed in President-elect Trump because he's got Mitt Romney now, who's looking at to be Secretary of State. And it wasn't even maybe 6 months ago, Mitt Romney was calling him a con artist, a fraud. America is getting ready to be conned by the greatest con man in the world. And damn, he got elected president by the Electoral College. And again, it wasn't by Republicans or the LBGT part of what's what I'm looking for group, wasn't by the females, and it definitely wasn't by the millenniums. So that really only leaves one area of our society that voted for Trump, and that was the Midwest, rural, Caucasian, mainly male men that voted for him, and they came out with force in the Midwest, all the way from Texas, all the way up to Montana. Whew, big old swath. When I saw that on the map on the election night, I was going, I knew right then and there that, oh man, yeah, he won. Not by the popular vote, but by the electoral vote. Let me explain to you how the electoral vote works. This is, again, made or invented because the people who live in the small rural areas, such as the Midwest, their state representatives, congressmen, senators, whatever you want to call them, decided that, well, to keep it fair, each state is going to get so many electoral votes. Now, it doesn't make a difference. Prime example, Florida, back in 2000. Florida, which has, I believe it's 9 electoral votes and 19 electoral votes, something like that. Gore and Bush. Gore won the popular vote in Florida. Matter of fact, 3 of the lead news agencies in the United States, ABC, CBS, and CNN, announced Gore as president, won the election. But here's the kicker right here. But in Florida, and as in every state, each state's divided into different districts. And in Florida, for example, yes, Al Gore definitely won presidential election by the popular vote. But in Florida, it was so close, those electoral votes, if he got the electoral votes, he would have won. But Bush got them because in each district, a percentage, they count the higher percentage of who went with for who. You know, and then they take all these votes and tally them together, and whoever got the highest percentage of the votes gets the electoral votes. Now, I don't know about you, but that, to me, is just not right. And obviously, there's a lot of people who feel the same way because over 43% of the populace in the United States of voting age do not go out and vote. And now that 43%, 60% plus in the 5 to 10% marginal, said they're not going to vote because their vote don't count. The Electoral College is going to decide who wins. I'm not even a politician. If I got 43% of the vote of the people who didn't vote, I would have won the election. I mean, it's just crazy, you know. Is it important for you to go out and vote? Oh, heck yeah. It's very important to go out and vote. But, yeah, as long as there's an electoral college in place, you're never going to have, in my opinion, in this broadcaster's opinion, it will never be a fair vote, ever. You know, they said, well, it takes so long to count one vote. No, it didn't. Here we are a week and a half out of the elections, and he got majority of the votes counted, and Hillary Clinton won, broke the record in popular votes by over 2 million. Now, I don't know, I'm old school. If you get the most votes, you win. You know? Do I like Hillary Clinton? No. But in my opinion, she's a heck of a lot better than Donald Trump. She has more experience, even though she lies. She's probably got a lot of baggage she's been being with her. But, you know, that's another story. Personally, if the Democratic Party, they screwed up. They screwed up big time. They had these, what they call super delegates. That before the Democratic campaign even came around, they 231 superdelegates, all of them, voted for Hillary Clinton. And here's the ironic thing of it is, if these superdelegates weren't even in existence, yeah, you got it. Senator Bernie Sanders would have run against Trump, and he would have beat Trump. And folks, you can call it conspiracy or whatever you want to call it, but that's how the system's rigged. You know, that's how it's rigged. They wanted Hillary to be the Democratic campaign because it was quite obvious that Trump was going to win. I mean, I was been following the campaign trail for a year and a half that this all started, and he was bringing in 20, 30, 40,000 people at his campaign rallies. And poor old Hillary, she was lucky to get 15,000. Heck, she had a campaign rally in Florida, and I swear to God, there may have been 50 of them standing out in the yard. She wasn't a valuable candidate. She had too much history. Those emails tore her up, you know. When it came down to the neck cutting, yeah, Bernie, he should have been the Democratic nominee. And we wouldn't be going for what we're going for now. Because a lot of us are scared. I'm scared because I don't know what this guy's going to do. He has none whatsoever experience in politics whatsoever. None. Period. And people say, oh, well, Ronald Reagan was a two-term governor of California. He had some experience. Then they go back to Eisenhower. Well, Eisenhower, he was the big guy of World War II. He knew how to lead and make very critical judgment call. For crying out loud, he's the one that planned out D-Day. So he had some experience in critical thinking. Only thing Donald Trump has in critical thinking is how you're going to screw people out of money, i.e. Trump University. Oh, by the way, which he did settle a lawsuit of $25 million, but he didn't have to admit to any guilt whatsoever. We can go on and on. Oh, this is one I want to talk about. I want to talk about his wife. His wife said that she came from the Soviet Union, some little country by Solvencia, something like that. Now, I can remember when the Soviet Union was communist Russia. And for you to get out of the Soviet Union, you had to pull some strings. All right, now here's a 19-year-old young girl leaving the Soviet Union to go to France to become a model. Okay, let's say that's all true. Let's say that, she did get the visa to go do that. But aren't you guys look nervous about having an ex-Soviet Union citizen in the White House with you guys were getting freaked out about Hillary Clinton's emails, but his ex-Soviet Union citizen is going to be in the White House having access to top secret information from her husband. And I don't even want to hear this. I mean, if you want to call in and tell me, oh, he won't say anything, that guy's a mouth from the South. he brags about grabbing women's boobs, butts, and pussy on national TV. You don't think he's going to brag to his wife about his top secret information he's been access to? Of course he is. And she's ex-Soviet Union. And people, you're probably going to say, oh, well, that don't mean anything. Well, it should, guys. you right-wingers are worrying about Clinton and her emails. And she even got on national TV and said, hey, I screwed up. Boom. And the FBI, two times, investigated and could not find anything on her. Nothing that was going that could be prosecuted. But it cost her election. And here we are. We have Mr. Orangehead as president-elect of the United States. Iran has already said that if he trashes the the nuclear agreement that we have on Iran, there would be severe consequences, you know. And all these other countries are sitting out there, and they're already doing it. They've already hitting him. And he's like, I'm working on my cabinet position. I don't have time for this. Pence, you go take the intelligence meetings that we're supposed to have every morning, debriefings, because he doesn't want to deal with it. He's not going to be in it long. And I'm not going to say someone's going to do something stupid, but he's going to get impeached. Or he's going to resign because he's not going to take it. I mean, Mr. Trump, this is not building a high rise. This is protecting the lives of 60 million people. And I don't think you have it in you to do it. I think that you already is pissing off the majority of the free world, you know? And you're definitely pissing off the communist countries, North Korea. Well, except Putin. Putin loves you because he already knows he's got you. He has you in his hip pocket. All he has to do is say a few nice things about you, and you'll be tweeting, oh, Putin's a great guy, blah, blah, blah. He's a strong leader. Oh, wait a minute. You did say that, didn't you? So, yeah, this is our leader. This is the leader that won by the electoral vote, not the popular vote. I don't have any other music downloaded, so, you know, if we're going to hear some more, we're going to hear it. Signing off, Uncle, again. And I'm back. We're good. We got a little over 11 minutes left in this show, this episode. We're going to finish it out with some more music. And I will be watching the sidelines of callers. Caller number 646-668-2392. That's 646-668-2392. You want to call in and spout off for about 2 to 3 minutes, please feel free to do so. But anyway, here is the next song on our agenda. I mean,
myself chasing the blues that I found. Report is the best news today. What's the use of complaining when nothing gets done? Hey, 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 what's the use of restraining from having some fun? Hey, hey, hey.
There's a killer. take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road. Riders on the storm, riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out of